Self-reg. How to help your child and you break the stress cycle and successfully engage with life. By Dr. Stuart Chanker. Introduction. Self-reg will show you where to stand, how to bring your child's behavior into focus, respond to your child's needs, and help your child help himself. It will strengthen your relationships. This is not about getting your child to behave, to stop doing or saying things that irritate you or others, or create problems for himself. Self-reg is about making a dramatic difference in mood, concentration, and the ability to make friends, feel empathy, and develop the higher values and virtues that are vital to your child's long-term well-being. The power of self-reg. New advances in neuroscience are unlocking the secrets of why we behave the way we do, and, more to the point, why it is so hard at times to behave the way we want. These same advances are also telling us how to change our behavior and that self-control has little to do with the solution. In fact, research now shows that the more we focus on self-control and the harder we push for it, the harder self-control and positive behavioral change can come. One of the big modern breakthroughs in the science of self-regulation was the discovery that the operation of the limbic system, what Joseph Deleuze called the emotional brain, this subcortical complex lies below the prefrontal cortex, and its main structures are the amygdala, the hippocampus, the hypothalamus, and the striatum. The limbic system, and in particular the amygdala and the nucleus accumbens, is the source of strong emotions and urges. It plays a critical role in the formation of memories, positive as well as negative: love, desire, fear, shame, trauma, and anger. All share a neurological home base here. In times past, it was initially tempting to see the brain's functioning as a kind of hierarchy in which higher executive systems in the prefrontal cortex rule over and control the urges coming from the lower limbic system. The idea was that when we give in to desires, it's because our PFC is too weak to inhibit the strong impulses emanating from the limbic system. The ancient and unchallenged idea of willpower and self-control as a kind of mental muscle fit right into this view. At war with ourselves, the high cost of the battle within. Maybe a morning coffee and a donut calms you. There are psychological reasons why such a treat is soothing, including positive emotional associations. But maybe your need for treats is getting out of control, and you're feeling guilty when you indulge, so you start to resist. Just fighting these urges can put you in a state of fight or flight, and being angry with yourself afterwards, once your PFC has come back online, for your lack of self-control, makes you that much more vulnerable to tripping into the fight-flight cycle you know and dread. 5 core steps to transforming behavior. 1. Read the signs and reframe the behavior. 2. Identify your stressors. 3. Reduce the stress. 4. Reflect. Become aware of when you're overstressed. 5. Respond. Figure out what helps you calm, rest, and recover. Running on empty. When children are under so much stress from many varied sources, they generally can't tell us in words, but they show it in their behavior, their moods, and their inability to listen or to get along with other children. Stress drains their fuel tank. They rely on adrenaline and cortisol to keep themselves going. That's why they become hyper or manic, and this is as hard on them as it is on us. This is definitely not the sort of behavior that a child can control, if only he chooses to do so. Because he's not choosing the way he's acting. The part of his brain that serves intentional behavior is precisely the part that shuts down when he becomes hyper or manic. The birth of the interbrain. Relationship completes the baby brain. As a parent, you respond to your baby's needs in the same way that you respond to your own. The caregiver's responses are psychological and not just cognitive. You're not just aware of, but actually feel what your baby's feeling. You feel distressed when your baby's distressed, feel angry or frightened when your baby's angry or frightened, and in calming your baby, you're also quite literally calming yourself. This intimate connection helps set what is to become the child's baseline state of arousal, her brain's idle speed. In an engine, the idle speed is set to generate just enough power to keep a number of core and accessory systems running smoothly. Your baby's idle speed must generate enough power to drive the metabolic and cellular processes needed for the immune system and for growth and restoration. However, that baseline adjusts upward in response to prolonged stress. This would include physiological stress, such as hunger, lack of sleep, or biological sensitiveness, and emotional stress, such as fear, anger, or negative experiences. The more stress a child is under, the higher his baseline level of arousal, the more energy he's burning while at rest, and the more reactive he is to stress. The five domains of stress and self-regulation. Because self-regulation involves these multiple dimensions, it is a dynamic system, which means that anything that helps in one part of the system affects the other parts in ways that may stabilize or destabilize the whole. All the five domains influence one another and create a complex yet seamless integrated system. The biological domain. This includes the nervous system and physiological processes that burn energy and restore it. Signs of stress in the biological domain include inadequate nutrition, sleep, or exercise. The cognitive domain. This refers to thinking and learning. Cognitive stressors include limited awareness of internal and/or external stimuli. The emotional domain. Stressors in this domain include intense emotions, new or confusing emotions, and emotional entanglements. The social domain. It's about being able to adapt behavior and thinking appropriately in social situations. Stressors in the social domain include confusing or demanding social situations and interpersonal conflicts. The prosocial domain. This includes qualities of empathy, selflessness, internal standards and values, and social responsibility. Stressors include having to deal with other people's strong emotions, tension between personal and peer values, moral ambiguity and guilt. The light of day. Kids need emotional openness and safety. Children find strong negative emotions frightening and draining, and will try to bottle them up. The pressure builds until they reach the point where they lash out, at which point telling them to use their words isn't helpful, because they're fleeing from the very emotion that they find frightening. What so often happens is that they regress into a pre-linguistic state in which they are left speechless, or perhaps equipped to use only words that express a raw feeling of emotional pain, which typically only makes matters worse. How many times has a parent heard their raging child scream, "I hate you," when, after the emotional storm has passed, they'd never say such a thing? To help our children grow emotionally, we need to help them express what they're feeling and feel safe doing so. They need to expand their emotional vocabulary and reflectiveness, and distinguish the different elements in their emotional responses. They have to learn how to identify their emotional triggers, and as they grow older, understand their emotional vulnerabilities. Parents under pressure. There are five fundamental stressors for parents that are hot buttons for their own self-regulation problems. 1. Socializing your child. You spend countless hours day after day, year after year, trying to teach your child the rules of acceptable behavior. 2. Shared anxiety. Parents' stress levels are often high not because they are annoyed by what their child is saying or doing, but because they want to so badly protect their children, and when their children are struggling, to help or soothe them. 3. Competitive parenting. It's a big reason why some parents berate their child after a game for his lackluster performance. 4. Navigating your way through the sea of superstimulants. Unfortunately, there's no one way to protect your child from the junk food, games, and other superstimulants that have been ubiquitous, and this anxiety adds to parental stress considerably. 5. Moving beyond labels that oversimplify and solve the problem. Labeling yourself as authoritarian or uninvolved does not guarantee stress-free parenting. Lessons learned. 1. Look for patterns, signs of over-arousal. 2. Keep your eyes on the target. Connect with your child. 3. Proceed gradually. 4. Get excited when your child begins to initiate. 5. Be wary of using big words. 6. Don't go too metacognitive. 7. Take it personally. A Parent's Self-Reg Guide to Self-Care, Sanity, and Survival. Develop your own self-awareness as a parent. Create the conditions that support optimal self-regulation for you. Forgive yourself. It's okay. Aim for calmness. Make time to play with your children and simply enjoy each other. Worrying about our children is a human, not a class or cultural phenomenon. No demographic has a corner on the market of parental concern or love. And no population of children is exempt from the myriad stresses that children have to deal with today. Certainly some of these stressors come wrapped in very different packaging, from gang violence to the pressure of college admission. But at a human level, it's about doing right by children and helping them develop the capacity to manage themselves to meet all the challenges and live up to their fullest potential.